All right, welcome to church, you guys. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord, and for allowing us to celebrate Mother's Day, Father. It's such a blessing to be able to have women in our lives, Father God, our mothers, our wives for some, Lord. And Lord, we thank you so much for that privilege, Lord, and we thank you for letting us be here at church, Father, on today. It's such a special day, Father God. And we ask that you may bless this time together, Father God, as we go through Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And that you may speak to us, Father God. That you may speak to us to be able to understand your words, Father, and breathe life into us, Father. We ask you this in your holy name we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? For my note takers, this is the title of today's message. Are you hungry? Right? I was playing around with, the title of today's message, and I was going to name it Grab a Snickers, but it didn't quite fit well with today's message. But that's a question that could be relatively, pretty wide, right? It could relate to a lot of things, right? Specifically today, we will answer a question as far as how to hunger for the Lord. Are you hungry for the Lord? Right. And so we will see three things that will get you or will show you how to hunger for the Lord. And these three things are, the first one is we need to realize that we are sinners, right? The realization of sin itself and getting to that point in your life, in your walk, is realizing we are sinners. The second is emptying yourself, right? Emptying yourself. And the third is being filled by Jesus, right? And so these three things will lead us to understand and to develop a hunger for the Lord. And so a quick recap of what's been going on, if you haven't been with us lately. But as you know, we've been going through the Beatitudes, and we've gone through verses 1 through 5. And so today, we'll be touching on verse 6. And these examples, right, have been of what has happened prior to, right? Jesus sat down, and in the multitude, he was talking about being poor in the spirit, mourning for your realization of where you're at, and being meek, right? That power controlled, right? And so today, verse 6 talks about the blessing that comes from the hunger for the Lord and the thirst for righteousness, right? And so if you've ever been hungry at any given point of time, you'll understand what I mean by this, right? And it's the point of hunger to where your stomach starts to gurgle, right? You're sitting there in class, sixth period or fifth for some of you, and you're just waiting to get out because you skipped breakfast, right? And all of a sudden, the math teacher starts talking, right? And you're sitting there looking at him, and all of a sudden your stomach goes, and you desperately start to look around to see and make sure no one heard that. And there it goes again, right? It's that feeling of like, man, I'm hungry and this guy won't stop talking. I need to get out of here now. I'm hungry, right? Most of us, if not all of us, have not experienced the hunger that Matthew describes here in verse 6, right? It's a hunger that goes beyond what I just described, and it's a hunger that actually causes pain to your stomach because nothing has hit your stomach and nothing is being processed. You see, your body naturally produces enzymes. There's these things that break down the food that you eat within your stomach, right? And eventually, when those enzymes don't have anything to break down, they start breaking down your body itself, the lining inside your stomach, right? And so these hunger pangs, it's not pains, as I learned this week. It's P-A-N-G, pangs. These hunger pangs are exactly what Matthew describes here in verse 6, right? And so let me read verse 6 to you, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, and it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." A woman posted a video on TikTok of herself holding a tiny octopus. At the time, she didn't know what she was holding, and it was the cutest thing ever, right? She posted it on her social media. She was out on vacation on March 24th of 2021. She was out in Bali, right? It's a very exotic and beautiful place. I've never been to, of course, but the pictures show it, right? Beautiful place. And so this young gal, Kaylin Phillips, held this baby octopus in her hand, and she was amazed at how crazy and the movement was and how beautiful the thing was. Later, to find out, a couple of days later, after she posted the video, her video received over 8 million views, over 1 million likes, and over 17,000 comments just a couple of days later. She then found out what she was actually holding was the world's most venomous octopus, and it was a blue-ringed octopus, to be exact. And what was amazing about this is that she lived to tell the story, right? The reason why it was so astounding to some of the viewers that were watching her video was that that octopus could have bitten her, right? And because the bite is so small and insignificant, she wouldn't have noticed and died hours later. But in fact, she was able to post a video and reply to her comments days later, right? And the blue ring octopus is, there's four species of it, sorry, that live in the Western Pacific and Indian Oceans, according to Oceana. And the organization that protects international oceans is Oceana, right? But according to the website Healthline, the venom from the blue ringed octopus is called tetrodotoxin, or TTX, and it can paralyze a human in minutes. The paralysis will deprive the body of oxygen and eventually lead to death, according to Healthline. You see, this gal, as she was holding the octopus in her hand, could have died while she was recording the video, right? But obviously this did not happen. This story reminded me of how it could be with sin in our lives. If it goes undetected, it's a slow killer, and eventually, when you let it go too far, it's too late, right? And the grasp of sin has held your life, right? The first point that I like to touch on is the first, realizing that we're sinners, right? Realizing our sin, identifying your sin. Identify the sin in your life and realize that habitual sin filling up your cup is never a good way to go. Now, I do want to describe something specific here in what I'm talking about, right? In getting to the hunger and thirst for the Lord, the first step is realizing you're a sinner, right? Realizing your sin. It's not the same type of sin that I'm talking about here as like, hey, we slip and fall. As you guys know, and I've shared this with you guys many times, right? The Bible says we're all sinners, right? And we fall short of the glory of God. But habitual sin is something very different, right? It's something that is continuous. It's something that you continue to do over and over and over in your life. It's something that you haven't necessarily given up, right? And it still holds grasp in your life. Habitual sin. There's a difference. Sinning and committing sin over and over without repentance. Habitual sin, right? And so that's what I want to shed light on today, is the first step is you got to realize that habitual sin in your life, right? There could be something in your life that you continue to do, something that you might even think you're holding back and no one knows about, right? It could be that secret life that you live on TikTok. It could be that secret life you live at school. It could even be something that maybe involves your thoughts, right? Something that you're so passionate about that leads you to sin. Romans 8:5 reminds us of a very important thing about sin. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." It reminded me of society and our lives today. We were just talking about it this morning, about cartoons and how now the woke agenda is hitting the cartoons, right? Cartoons that when I was growing up were so innocent and cartoon. But now these things have invaded even our cartoon, our TV, right? And it's not surprising, you guys. It's something that, you know, for far too long, it's crept up little by little, right? And we've given it a foothold, right? And so nowadays, it's important, right? We touched on this a couple weeks back about, you know, following along with what everybody else is doing and living for your flesh. It's whatever feels good, whatever looks good, right? And we talked about that. Hollywood is all about that, right? We talked about how just things that people do nowadays is for that euphoria, right? That high. They live to be that high of their life, and they do things and say things and participate in things that are surprising, right? And, you know, it reminded me of a story that I shared with you guys maybe about last year or so, was that, you know, my wife is a great cook. Some of you guys know her, Joanna. She is an amazing cook. And she cooks up, I mean, a little bit of everything. She knows how to cook many dishes, right? And so because of it, I love her food, right? It's hard not to. And so there will be times where, you know, I work late or I'm driving up the hill and, you know, it's 6, 7 p.m. and, you know, I get real hungry. And so on the way to home, I stop by to maybe Chick-fil-A or worse, McDonald's and, you know, pick up a burger and fries, right? And now there's nothing wrong with eating a burger and fries. Don't misinterpret me. But there is a problem when your wife has cooked up a beautiful meal for you at home and you get home and she says, "Honey, food's ready." And you smirk and put a smile on your face and you say, "Thank you, honey," from the, you know, tip of your tongue, because you're embarrassed to tell her that you've already eaten junk food, right? You see, for most of you, you prefer a home-cooked meal that is nice and warm and tastes great, right? And the junk food is just, well, it's junk food, right? And so it's embarrassing to me sometimes when this happens, because I say, I have to fess up and say, "Honey, I ate junk," right? I just filled my body with junk food, right? Junk food. And so the second part of hungering and thirsting for the Lord is emptying yourself of this junk, right? Matthew 5:3, as we read earlier in the weeks ahead past, "Are you poor in the spirit?" Right? Let me read that to you. It says, "Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Being poor in the spirit, finally realizing where you're at in life, spiritually wise, and realizing that, man, I don't hit that mark. I'm not there. Father, Lord, I need you. Pour in the Spirit. Jesus says here that they will be, theirs will be the kingdom of heaven, right? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven, verse 3 says. And then verse 4 quickly reminds us that, hey, once you've realized the nature of yourself, mourning for where you're at spiritually goes a long way. And verse 4 says this, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus spoke of a comfort of having the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus Christ himself would later down the road die for the sins of the world. What's awesome about this step, guys, is emptying yourself. After step one, you've realized, hey, you're a sinner, right? You're in habitual sin. You're in a spot where you can't get out. You dug so deep that it is embarrassing to come to church. But it doesn't stop there, you guys, because God promises something. And it's a beautiful promise that when we were reminded of it, should give you hope. God always forgives our sins if we confess. The key word there is confessing. You see, it's not just enough to realize your sinful nature, our sinful nature, but we must confess to the Lord our sin. 1 John 1:9 says the following, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's confessing our sins, you guys, that really goes the extra mile. It's confessing our sins and confessing that habitual sin that we are holding, quote unquote, in our closet, right? Where we think no one knows about. Confessing that sin, and God is faithful to forgive us of our sin. You know, growing up, I always thought that going to church and reading your Bible and being a good kid was enough, right? I thought that being Christian meant coming to church and, you know, try to do what's good. And at the end of the day, everybody sinned, so it was all good, right? But there was a problem with that thinking. You see, in my mind, I was able to fool many people. In my mind, I thought I had everyone fooled. You see, when people would approach me at church, they would say, Josue, great job on the worship team today. You sang beautifully. And I would say, yeah, great. I did, didn't I? Right? And I would shake my head and I would be so puffed up. And there was other times where people would come to me because of the fakeness that I portrayed to people of how, quote unquote, a good Christian I was. People would come to me and ask me for prayer about something that I was struggling myself with, a habitual sin that I myself hadn't let go. And these peers, the people my age, would come to me and say, hey, pray for me because I'm struggling with this, right? And to this day, I remember those times because I was a liar. You see, I wasn't lying to the people. They didn't know what was going on. I was lying to myself. I was living a life that I thought was okay. I would go to church one day, and as soon as I left church, I would pop in the CD and start rapping and singing things that probably shouldn't have been singing, right? One hour I was singing to the Lord up on stage, and the next hour I was, borderline singing to the devil. It's an exaggeration, of course, but you see, living a double life is easy to do. But God promises one thing. Step one, realize our sin. Step two, empty yourself of that junk, right? I can guarantee you, if I were to come home from a long day of work and not had junk food, I would get filled with the good stuff that my wife provided, the goods. But instead, we decide to fill ourselves sometimes with junk food. Milkshakes, French fries, deep fried Twinkies, never had them, wouldn't want to, I heard they're great. But the junk, guys, the stuff that clogs your arteries, if you will. We got to ask ourselves this. What are we filling up our tanks with? What are we filling our lives, our daily lives, our daily spiritual lives with? Is it junk food? Or is it mama's home-cooked meal? Now, some of you guys might be looking at me or thinking in your head like, oh, you don't know how my mom cooks. And I don't. I might have not tasted her food. But please do not tell her on Mother's Day, okay? Any day but today. But with, you know, regardless, you guys, I can guarantee you whatever home-cooked meal, whether it tastes amazing or not, it's way better than the junk that we find in Jack in the Box. It's a box filled of junk, no pun intended. But we got to understand, you guys, what we fill our lives with. The things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we do in our daily walk will reflect our spiritual life. You see, if you have a cup of water and you fill it with soda, okay, what do you think will be seen through that cup? Glass cup, you have water in it, and you pour Coke in it. Will you be able to see the water or the Coke? Watered down Coke. The Coke, right? The soda. What you fill your life in with, right, is what is the reflection of your life on the outside. You see, you could only fool so many people for so long period of time till eventually they spend enough time with you, they'll find out you're a phony. Like in my story, right, eventually people started realizing that I wasn't a Christian, right? It's the people that started getting closer to me and started having longer conversations past the 30-second mark, right? People that started getting curious. It's like, man, who is this dude? Like, Josue, what do you do on the weekend? Go to church? Yeah, Josue, I get it, but like, after church, what do you do for fun, man? Hey, I gotta go, man. My mom's here, right? Or I would lie. Oh, yeah, you know, my school put on this event and we helped the poor and we handed out food, and I had never done that. So I was embarrassed. Eventually, that life will catch up. Eventually, your lie will catch up, right? And like that story of the octopus, you could hold it in your hand and it'll look pretty and beautiful, and you could post it on TikTok for everyone to see, and you'll get a million likes and 1,000 comments and all these great things, and you're at the top of the world. But what you don't realize is that octopus is killing you slowly. Such is the way of sin. And so I asked you guys a question in the beginning. How do people hunger and thirst for righteousness? You see, Jesus lays it out for us very simply in the previous three verses before this. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. And blessed are the meek. These are steps, you guys, to be able to thirst and hunger for righteousness. You see, it's that thirst and hunger for righteousness that I described earlier, like the pangs of hunger. It's that hurt in your stomach, right? That feeling that you cannot eat, right? You're hungry. It's this feeling that we should feel for righteousness, for the right things. The last step in this process, you guys, to be able to get to hungering for righteousness, is be filled by none other than Jesus. How can you do this? It's reading the Word of God. It's having a daily devotional with the Lord, having that communication, that open dialogue with our Creator. Think about it, you guys. We have an open line of communication with the Creator of this universe. Let me repeat that one more time if it didn't blow your mind just yet. We have the Creator of the universe's cell phone number. And there's no bill attached to it, you guys. There's no Verizon bill. There's no AT&T bill. There's no T-Mobile bill. There's no Mint Mobile bill. Whatever it is that you guys have, that cell phone number, we got digits. It's probably not used anymore, but we have God's direct line, you guys, to be able to pick up the phone whenever we need to, whenever we'd want to, and have a conversation with God. You know, oftentimes as I'm driving down and throughout my day, I'll be driving. I drive a lot for work, and I'll start praying, right? Obviously, I'm not closing my eyes. I'm driving, of course, and I'll be driving and praying, and I'll catch myself hitting the end button on the steering wheel, right? Most cars nowadays, they're built with a Bluetooth function, and they have the pickup button, the green button, and then they have the red button on the steering wheel. And that red button ends your call as you are talking, right? And so I catch myself sometimes and chuckling at it because I end my prayer and I say amen, and I press that end button. That's how real our prayers should be like, guys. It should feel like you're having a conversation with the Lord. Galatians 5:16 tells us this. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Why? It says, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, if you walk in the Spirit, you guys, the sinful nature that we are so accustomed to live by, we're humans after all, it's what you fill in your life with is what makes the difference here, you guys. Reading your word, spending time in prayer. All of these things is what fills our lives. Or you could be like me when sometimes I am driving up the hill and I feed myself junk. Are you hungry? Do you thirst for the Lord? Do you thirst for righteousness? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Because without asking ourselves that question, it is just simply a life that we live with no purpose. What do you hunger for? Are you living that life of facade that I did? Are you in the same situation that I did, or that I was, sorry, so many years ago? Or worse, you haven't even realized your sin, and you think that everything that you're doing is just fine. That church is church, and my parents are crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. And all these fanatics and these people that think that God exists, what a bunch of baloney, you might be telling yourself. And you know, I can't change your mind. Most certainly, if you're thinking that way, it will be hard to change your own mind without making some changes first. Realizing your habitual sin, realizing you're a sinner, step one. Emptying yourself of the junk in our lives is step two. And the most important one of all, you guys, is being filled with Jesus. Filling our lives with the Word of God, praying, and having that communication, that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is what's going to make the difference. It's not coming to church. It's not pretending to sing a worship song. It is not doing good, as most people think, right? You ask the vast majority of people in this world today, will you go to heaven or hell? Right? Where do you think you're going to go when you die? Some will answer, I don't believe in that, right? Some will answer, well, yeah, I'm a good person. I think, you know, I'm pretty good with the big man upstairs. And, you know, I do right. And, you know, I haven't killed anybody. So I think I'm going to heaven, right? What saves us? There's only one thing here, you guys. And we're reminded of that in these previous verses. And see, understanding our situation, understanding where we're at in our spiritual walk, understanding that there's nothing that you can possibly do, that you nor I can possibly do to earn salvation. Because see, salvation is earned freely. The famous verse that most of you guys know, if not all of you, right? John 3:16. For God, the Creator, the same person that we're talking about here today, that communication, that line open communication. For God loved the world, not just the people in this room today, not just myself, not just the people in this church. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ. For what purpose, you guys? Why did God give his son Jesus up? So that whoever believes in him, that's our promise. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. Are you hungry for righteousness? Or are you hungry for junk food? That's a question that only you can answer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, this morning for clarifying these words, Lord, that you have for us this day. There are steps to walking a life with you, Lord, and it's the first thing is realizing our situation, Father. Realizing that what we've done so far to attain heaven is not going to work. It is only by believing in you and accepting you, Lord, and emptying ourselves of our sin, that you can start creating that heart for your righteousness, Lord. And so, Father, we ask that this morning, Lord, you be able to work in our hearts, Father. You continue to work in our daily lives, Father God. And that you may be with us, Father God, as we go through the week. And that you may help us meditate in these words, Lord. Father, let us realize our sin. Let us empty ourselves. And Father, more importantly, fill us with you, Father. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your love to be able to give to others, Father. We love you. We thank you, Father God. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.